Welcome to LOA Today. I'm Walt Thiessen here with life coach Cindy Chavez, and this is your daily dose of happy. We're so happy you decided to join us today. We've got some really new things and interesting things to talk about, including a special Thanksgiving gratitude video that we're putting together. Cindy and my other co-hosts and I are putting it together, and we want to invite those of you who might be interested to contribute to it, because what we're doing is we are making video recordings of ourselves, audio recordings primarily, of course, for the podcast, of ourselves talking about what we're grateful for in our lives. And we're going to take it and we're going to edit it all together, turn it into like this rampage of gratitude, and make that our Thanksgiving Day program, because obviously we don't actually do any recording on Thanksgiving like you. We want to enjoy the holiday with our family and friends and so forth. So if you are interested, if you'd like to contribute to it, just go to loatoday.net/gratitude. You'll see a link there to click. Click that link and it will take you to a place on a website called videoask.com that Cindy told me about, where you can actually record right off your smartphone whatever it is that you want to tell us about what you're grateful for, and we will include it in the videos. So take advantage, and we look forward to getting those contributions from our listeners to include with our own videos, which, Cindy, you were the first one creating the video today. You did our first
video. Awesome. Well, I started thinking, you know, I was listening to you intro it, and when you said it's just like this rampage of appreciation, I thought, wow, can you imagine the vibe of that whole program of just just a solid, you know, hour of people talking about what they're grateful for? That's like something you could just play over and over. Like,
no kidding.
Play it, you know, while you sleep. Play it in the background. Play it all the time. Just got to have a great, great vibe. That's a wonderful thing. Gratitude is at the top.
Right? Absolutely.
We've been talking
about time to do it?
This.
What better time to do it than at Thanksgiving? I mean, that's what it's all about, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah. And also, we have more things to be grateful for, in that we've been getting emails from listeners talking about each of the different episodes, including the ones that you and I have been doing, Cindy. And I wanted to share a couple of them with you and with our listeners, because, well, first of all, they were so wonderful. The first one comes from Sarah. She says, I just wanted to express my gratitude for the episode on worthiness that we did recently. I found it very enlightening. I'm so happy to receive more pieces of the puzzle every day through this wonderful show. You guys are amazing.
So, yay, thank you, Sarah.
And we also had one from Katrina. She says, hey, Walt, I've been listening for at least a couple of years now. I've never written in before. Sorry about that. No need to apologize, Katrina. I just wanted to thank you for what you do. I enjoy listening because I feel like I'm hanging out with you guys. These are always excellent lessons. My favorite shows are with Cindy, Linda, and Rita. You're all fantastic. I hope you have a great day.
So. Oh, that's so nice. Thank you, Katrina. Very nice. Yeah. And I heard from a listener named Janelle who wrote me about the worthiness episode that we did.
Cool.
Also saying that she and a friend have been discussing worthiness, and they appreciated the concept that we talked about, the difference between the concept of deserving and of being worthy.
Right.
And she had a lot of really deep thoughts. It was a very nice email, and I'm excited that our conversation actually contributed to another conversation, right, that was going on. And she was talking about, you know, the results that they've had and the personal growth that's happening there, just like this other, like I think Sarah just said, another piece of the puzzle, right? It's like kind of the same feeling from this listener, just saying that, you know, it's all coming together and these are more information that's been really useful. So that made my day. I love hearing this. Right.
Absolutely. Yeah. It made my day too. Every time we get one of those emails, it makes my day. And I get quite a few of them lately. So it's been making my day a lot. Thank you very much, listeners. We really appreciate it.
And you know, what's interesting is that whole, we talk about this a lot in relationship, but you know, the mirror aspect, right? And I have been feeling, and it feels like it was not a result of these emails, but that I've been feeling it anyway, even before the emails. And that is just feeling really thankful for the people that support us, for the people that listen, for all of our listeners that, you know, have been with us. I mean, I've been with you for years now.
Yeah, I was checking. This is actually the month of our third anniversary doing shows together. I don't know
how to do
that, but
yeah. As a matter of fact, I think it's yesterday or today.
Is it? Okay. I wasn't
year
sure.
Number three. And it's like, just really, you know, really happy and appreciative of all the people that have, given us a shout out somewhere. You know, people have tagged me on Twitter or Instagram, sent me emails, sent you emails, sent us emails through the new app that we have, which is awesome. Yep. Just saying, you know, we love listening to what you're talking about. And I love this, you know, from Katrina, I feel like I'm hanging out with you guys, or Sarah, one of them said that. That's cool. That's exactly, we feel like you're hanging out with us too.
That's right. Absolutely.
Right? Yeah. So it's just been, I feel like it's that mirror effect of we're thankful for each other. And as that thankfulness and gratitude deepens, we get more feedback from people. And, you know, it just keeps on going and going, because like all good relationships, it's reciprocal. There are two sides, right, that are both appreciating each other, both contributing Absolutely. To the conversation, so to speak.
Yep.
So an interesting thing is that, talk about contributing to conversation, we had the suggestion to do a show on worthiness.
Right.
And that's what caused us to do that show. We had mentioned something on a show, and I think it started a conversation with someone who wrote to us and said, you know, you were talking about this and it made me think about this and I'd like you to do a show on this. And so we did. And then we got another reply about our worthiness show that said, well, this has helped so much. And now it's brought up another thing that I think is connected to worthiness. And she said it was boundaries. And I said, oh, we can talk about that.
Love it. Absolutely love it.
So, you know, that it's interesting because in my mind, I'm thinking about our show and, you know, the idea of law of attraction. LOA today. It's what we talk about. But how many, that just is applicable to every single area of life. And something that I've been talking about with clients, especially for the past month, I don't know why, but I've been talking about this for years, but it just seems like it just keeps coming up in the past weeks or months. And that is the idea of the work we do that we would consider internal work, like meditation or visualizing or all the Neville stuff that we've talked about for years, where you're falling off to sleep and you're imagining a vignette of something that you want to see happen. And the place I've been going with all of that is that all of that is super important. And it's also important to do the outer work, because if you're doing the inner work and the outer work, then you have much better chance of success. So it reminds me of that thing that Abraham says, and you know, I'm not always in agreement with Abraham, but this one thing cracks me up and I absolutely am in agreement. And Abraham says, you know, if you're focused enough, if you're really good at this stuff and you're really focused, you probably can go to McDonald's and manifest a 5-star meal.
Yes.
It's so much easier to just go to a 5-star restaurant and
That's
order
right.
a 5-star meal, right? And so I think about that as that it's the inner part and the outer part. So yes, do the thought work. The thought work might be the most important piece, right? And yet the thought work all is channeled better and comes back to you in a faster, quicker, more magnificent way if there are actually real channels for it to work. And that's usually through other people. Like, look at this. We've gotten all this feedback on this show we did. And how did this show come about? Someone reached out to us and said, I heard you mention XYZ, and that made me think that that could be a whole show.
That's true.
Yeah. Right? You said three sentences about worthiness, and I could listen to that all day. And we said, okay, let's do a whole show. But there mm-hmm. were people, other people reaching out. And so that idea connects really well to boundaries. Like, you might think, well, what do boundaries have to do with law of attraction? But I think it's all connected. The things we do in our life, the way we behave, the way we interact with other people, the way we respect ourselves and care for ourselves and love ourselves as well as others, it all is part of what we attract.
Yeah, you really can't even have boundaries until you have the worthiness we talked about the previous episode. They kind of go hand in hand. You got to have one in order to have the other.
I think so. Right. I think that they're deeply connected. And so, you know, boundaries, a lot of times people, if I bring up boundaries, I remember having a session with a client a few months ago, and she is really organized. Wow. And she is really like a great client in the sense that when she shows up, she knows what she wants to talk about. She's got an agenda, right? It's wonderful. She's like, okay, here are all the things that I want to make sure we touch on today. And there were four or five things that day, and every single one of them was a boundary issue, which really made her laugh. By the end of the session, she was cracking up laughing. She said, well, I didn't realize that every single thing I brought to the table today was going to end up being a boundary issue. But the cool part about that was that it was easy to fix.
Hmm. Yes.
Some people get really squirmy about boundaries. Like they don't, because they're afraid to set boundaries.
Really? I have to admit, that's not my experience from my own life anyway. So tell me about why that is. Why do people feel...
Well, I think that a lot of people think that they're going to come off in their relationships as being like a real hard ass or something. Like, you know, like, in other words, when you bring up, well, think about this. You know, we joke, my husband says that the scariest four words in the English language are, we need to talk.
We need to talk, right?
So think about how most people feel when someone says to them, and it really doesn't matter who it is, right? It could be a parent, it could be a boss, it could be an intimate partner, a spouse, says, we need to talk. It's like, oh no. And yet, most of the time, you know, conversations are much easier than we think they're going to be.
Right.
It's like, oh, I really am glad we had a talk. It wasn't so bad. I was, you know, nervous, whatever. Boundaries are the same way. A lot of times people get like, when I say, well, tell me about your, you know, this sounds like a boundary issue. Oh. Because I think people are afraid that to make a boundary, they have to be mean.
Oh, yes, I see what you mean. Yeah, that is an easy conclusion to draw.
Right? Like they have to say no to somebody. They think that setting a boundary is going to upset someone. I mean, I think that's basically what it really boils down to. And here's the thing. Usually the people that don't have strong boundaries or don't have boundaries, the reason why they don't have strong boundaries is because they don't want to upset anybody. Mm-hmm. So here's an interesting thought. What kind of person wants to be seen as someone who never upsets anybody?
What kind of person? I can think of a couple different kinds, depending on how you're going to, you know, organize your kinds. I'm not sure what you have in mind. Codependency is the first thing that comes to my mind, but you tell me what you're thinking.
Well, it's not as much a diagnosis as to say, look, I understand the reason that you have weak boundaries is because you care about people. Mm-hmm. And you care about people's feelings.
Okay.
And you don't want to upset people. Like one of the clearest signs of not having any boundaries is just you never say no to anybody.
True.
Right? It's like, okay, yes, yes, yes. And the person that you say no to the most often is yourself.
Yes. We're really good at that one.
Right? So boundaries at their very, you know, the simplest explanation for a boundary is just letting someone know what's okay and what's not okay.
Mm. Yep.
And
true.
I like to think that setting boundaries is an act of love.
Oh, absolutely. I agree with that completely. 100%.
Right. Have you ever like wondered if something was okay in a relationship? Right. Like it may even be like our relationship, right? Like, oh, I need to call Cindy, but I wonder if it's too late.
Sure.
Right? It's 9 o'clock at night. Is that too late? Right. And so maybe you don't call, or maybe you make the call nervously, or it can be little things like that, right? But when we have the boundary and we've said to someone, hey, if you're going to call me, I appreciate it if you call me before 8 o'clock at night, because I just, otherwise you'll get my voicemail. I don't pick up after eight. So just know I'm not avoiding you, but I don't pick up the phone after eight. That's a relief to someone.
Absolutely.
All of a sudden they realize, oh, you know, and it's the same thing. We observe boundaries in a very non-threatening and non-threatened way all the time. Right? Like, what do I do if I'm going to run over to the store. I'm not sure if they're open. Let me go check. Okay. Yeah. They open at 10 a.m. That's a boundary. So I can get there 2 hours before they open and bang on the door and be all upset that they won't open it. But they've made their boundaries really clear. Mm-hmm. We're open from this time and we close at this time.
Right.
So in our lives and relationships, boundaries can be the same way. We're just letting someone know what's okay with us and what's not.
I can give another example too. And it happens actually in terms of an intimate relationship before the intimate relationship becomes intimate. That's when you're first meeting each other or you're first dating, first getting to know each other.
Right.
And one of the most challenging things that people end up doing, often without realizing it, is they do what, I don't know if it's still called this, it used to be called game playing, where you play a little game to see if you can get the other person to give the kind of responses you're looking for, because that's going to make you feel better. And game playing is probably one of the most destructive ways, or maybe I should turn it the other way. It's one of the most successful ways to end a relationship as quickly as possible.
So when you say game playing, you're not talking about an icebreaker where we say, hey, let's play a little
no.
game, know each other. You're talking about like head games, like playing
head games.
Yeah. Oh yeah. No. And it's one of the reasons why, you know, when I coach somebody who's like just getting into a relationship, or maybe I'm coaching someone who wants a relationship and then they start, you know, seeing someone, I always think that's the most amazing time to reaffirm within yourself who you are and show up as authentically as you can. Because so many people, like you're talking about head games, so many people show up in an inauthentic way about things that they think don't matter.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, hey, you want to go see this zombie movie? And they're like, okay. And they really hate zombie movies, but
Right. They're
like, all right, well, I'll just go with the flow. Somebody said this to me the other day on the phone, but shouldn't I just go with the flow? And I think Jeffrey asked us on the call a week or so
That's
ago.
True.
He said,
did,
what
yeah.
about just going with the flow? So yeah, sometimes it's fine to go with the flow, but what can happen in a new relationship is you're going with the other person's flow and you're going against your own flow because you're worried that you won't be accepted. You know, hey, you want to go grab a pizza? And maybe you hate pizza, but you're like, all right. You know, it's like agreeing to the, and there are little things that you would think, well, these things don't really matter. But what's happening there is that you're actually building on a faulty foundation of all these things that you're not really crazy about. And what I think is funny is that so many times when people decide that they're going to, this is the perfect time for you to be completely authentic because this person doesn't know you yet. Be who you are. Don't fake it.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
And there's so many stories about, it's like, well, hey, do you want to go see this movie? No, I don't like those kind of movies. Neither did I. Ooh, I feel relieved, right? It's like, I just knew it was popular and I figured maybe you liked that, but oh, I'm so glad to know you don't. I know that when we're honest about our preferences, which is another thing we've talked about a lot on the show. And I think we talked about this in the worthiness thing, is that like being willing to verbalize your preferences. When you're honest about that in the beginning of a relationship, and that's another place that boundary setting comes in. It's about little things, your boundaries. And when you find someone who loves you because of those things or in spite of those things, it's probably going to be a combination.
Mm-hmm.
Then you can just be who you are, you know, and
right.
it's a big breath of fresh air to be able to just be the person that you are.
I love the way you described how it relaxes you when you get that kind of clear boundary setting. It was one of the things that made me so interested in Louise from the very beginning because she was the first woman that I had dated in years who made it really clear what she wanted from me. If she wanted a hug, she threw her arms wide open. She didn't hint around at it. She just said, here I am. I want a hug. Oh, sure. I'm glad to give you a hug. It made it so easy. Whereas there had been a number of times, and now I have to admit, I have to raise my hand and say, I'm the one who attracted these women. But for a while there, I was attracting women who were playing the head games, and I was supposed to kind of guess along with them on what it is that they wanted and so forth. And it just drove me nuts. And it killed the relationship so quickly. It was ridiculous.
It's a really common thing, and I'm not sure where it comes from. But this idea that that people should be mind readers almost, right?
Yes.
A lot of times people don't want to ask for what they want because they have this weird idea that says, well, if you really love me, you would know what I want already. Or if I have to ask for it, I don't really want it, right? If you're watching, you see these gorgeous roses behind me that my husband brought me for our wedding anniversary last week. And I did not specifically ask for flowers for my anniversary, but in the beginning of our relationship, I made it very clear how much I love getting flowers. And so I get flowers all the time. Well, you know that. I have flowers every week.
Absolutely.
And at one time, in my life, I think I was in that other kind of mindset. Was like, what, I have to ask for you to be romantic? I have to ask for flowers? If I have to ask for it, I don't even want it. Boy, how entitled can we be? Like the other person, our partner is not a mind reader. Like, it's okay to ask for what you want. And that goes for how you're treated, what you like to receive as a gift, if you want a hug, right? And also what you don't want. And that's, sometimes boundaries are about what you want. Sometimes they're about what you don't want. Boundaries, though, are for you. And actually, I had somebody disagree with me recently in a forum, and they were very adamant. And I feel like maybe I wasn't explaining where I stood in a clear enough way. Because what I mean by that, because I said boundaries are for you. Boundaries are not to change the other person's behavior.
Right.
And this person said, yes, they are. That's exactly what they're for. Now, here's where I stand on that. Yeah, sure. The best case scenario is that if I say to you, please don't call me after 8, then your behavior changes and you don't call me after 8. However, I don't judge the success of a boundary by your behavior. How would I do that? So what I do is I realize that there's a reason I'm setting that boundary. I don't want to be on the phone after 8 o'clock at night. I want an evening that's free of telephone talking. So I'm creating that boundary to make an environment that serves me well, to create an experience I want, which is I don't want to be on the phone free after 8, right? So if you're somebody that calls me after 8, even after I've put that boundary in effect, if I'm judging the effectiveness of my boundary by whether you call me or not, then my boundary is a failure. It didn't work. Your behavior did not change. You kept calling. But there are always going to be some people that resist a boundary or push up against it. You put a fence around a playground, some of the kids are going to go play right up next to the fence.
That's right.
Right? And yes. One kid's going to hop the fence. So when I put that boundary together, if I say, I don't take calls after 8 o'clock, I let it go to voicemail, then I turn my phone off at 8 o'clock, and whether you honor the boundary or not, I'm still enjoying the environment I've created with my boundary.
Right. Exactly true. Yes. By the way, there's something that the person who was all upset, I think that person may have been overlooking a key point, because as I understand what he or she was saying, a boundary is all about getting somebody else to change their behavior. And the thought that went to my mind was, well, aren't you doing that because you want them to change their behavior for your benefit? So once again, you're doing it for you.
True. And here's the thing is that, in my life anyway, I've had two things happen with boundaries. One is the majority of the time, people respect and honor my boundaries. Mm-hmm. Right? The other one, a tiny bit of the time, people are not happy about my boundaries. And somehow they just fade away out of my life. Mm-hmm. Right? Like because it doesn't work for them.
Well, that's law of attraction also.
You're
on one vibration. Yeah, you're on one vibration, they're on the other vibration. That's just not going to keep you in the same space.
Right. And so, you know, there's nothing scary about it. And there's some magic words for requesting boundaries that I really like. Okay. My four magic words, would you be willing?
Mm-hmm. Good. I like that.
Right? So it's always done with the utmost of respect for the other person, respect for yourself. I'm not going to be able to do whatever. Would you be willing to, you know, I always use phone calls or easy things, but sometimes they're much more difficult things. Sometimes they're things that are bigger and weightier than just what time you will receive a phone call. But it's a good example because everybody can understand it, right? I don't generally call people at night anyway, but, you know, I remember back in the day before cell phones that you could just turn off, people complaining because people would call their house late at night. So I think that it's, you know, learning how to communicate what your boundaries are, what you're willing to what you're willing to accept as being okay, because otherwise you're tolerating things. So that's a great question to ask yourself. This is directly related to law of attraction. The more you are tolerating, the less attractive you are to the things you want.
Ooh. Wow. Yeah. It's true. But it's also, that's a kind of a stop you in your tracks idea.
My quote that I've said a few times, probably a few hundred times in the last 10 years, you can't have what you want and keep your weak boundaries.
Mm-hmm. True.
Think about it. If I'm tolerating all kinds of things I don't like, and some of those might be other people and some of them might not, right? Maybe I'm tolerating, I don't know, actually in this moment, I'm tolerating an office that's a little disheveled more than I like. Maybe I'm tolerating, a burned out porch light. Maybe I'm tolerate, right? So it doesn't always concern someone else, but let's say I'm tolerating all kinds of things in my environment that I'm not happy about. And I'm also tolerating behavior from other people that's disrespectful or just doesn't jive with, you know, the way I want my life to be. What kind of message am I sending out vibrationally?
That pretty much justifies what you said earlier. You're sending out a message that says, don't give me the stuff that I really like. Give me stuff that I'm only going to put up with because that's all I'm really good for.
Right. And it's like, I'm okay with all of this.
Yeah.
I'm okay with people disrespecting me. I'm okay with people bothering me. I'm okay with people, you know, trampling on me. I'm okay with people taking advantage of me. Those four things I just mentioned, they're really common things for people to be tolerating.
That's
right?
True.
You know, this is a really personal story, but someone that was in my life and actually really dear to me, began treating me really badly. And it was sort of like one day they would be sweet as pie to me and the next day they would be like, it was awful and saying really horrible things to me, horrible abusive things to me. And then the next day just acting like everything was fine and being sweet as pie to me again. And I actually had two conversations with them and said, like, this doesn't work.
Yeah.
Like, yes, I do want a relationship with you, but not like this.
Right.
Not an abusive one. Not one that, you know, assumes things without giving me the benefit of the doubt. Not one that's, I want one that's built on mutual respect and compassion. And we always give each other the benefit of the doubt. We don't just assume things. And it just still went on.
Wow.
And I was really at a loss with what to do. And so I hired a really badass colleague of mine. Somebody that I knew would understand relationship, because I'm a relationship coach, right? And they said to me, after hearing my story of what was going on, they said to me, you realize that this person is like, that this is a mental health issue.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And you realize that this behavior is abusive. And I said, yeah, I do. And what came out of that was the recognition that you do not have to tolerate abuse from anyone, even if they're having mental health issues, even if they have addiction problem, even if they're a family member, even if they're a dear friend you've had for most of your life. All of those things will cause people to tolerate behavior because, well, but they're family, or well, but I've known them forever, well, but they're a really close friend, well, but they have a problem with, you know, with alcohol or with drugs, well, but I know that they have some mental health issues. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what's going on. You do not have to tolerate. And as soon as you start tolerating it everywhere, then you're saying to the universe, I'm okay with this. I'm okay with this.
You're not only saying that, I want to kind of, I don't know what the right word is, train onto what that person was complaining about, who was complaining about the way you were describing boundaries and how they're important for yourself rather than for somebody else. Well, if you're really concerned about somebody else, why would you want to continue a set of behaviors that has already manifested rude or abusive or angry or a lousy behavior? Because they're responding to you, right? There's a relationship going on here.
That's the point I'm making, is that I was setting the boundary of, look, yes, I absolutely want to continue our friendship, but I'm not going to accept this kind of behavior. Because my friendships are built on mutual love and mutual trust and mutual respect. And so if we don't have that, then they made the choice not to be in relationship with me anymore. And
if it's somebody who has that drug abuse issue or the alcoholism issue, how can we possibly expect that person to even want to consider taking their issue seriously if we're going to make it easy for them? Because that's all we're really doing. If we're letting them be abusive toward us, we're making it easy for them. They're getting to do exactly what their worst side wants to do.
And you know, it's an interesting thing. The whole concept of humans being small group primates, and you know, one of our biggest fears that goes back, you know, into where we were more primitive people, the biggest fear was being ostracized, being cut off from the tribe, because you'd probably die without your tribe's, you know, community. Sure. And so we still sometimes have that fear of being rejected and not being accepted. It's why sometimes we're not authentic, because we think, well, I want to pretend I like this because everybody likes it and I want to be accepted. So we kind of go along with the crowd. But you're right, because when we tolerate, you know, abusive behavior, then there's not that ostracism, right? There's no reason for anyone to change if everyone in their life just tolerates their behavior. So I know
in fact, if anything, they're going to escalate. That's with somebody who's got an abusive issue. No, I'm sorry, a drug issue or some sort of an addictive issue. Not only are they going to feel empowered, they're going to escalate. They're going to increase it. It's going to happen more and more often because, hey, they got the payoff they were looking for. That's exactly what they're looking for, a payoff, and they got it.
Yeah.
So you're actually working against their best interest by not putting up the boundary.
So, and here's the thing. This is not to say that, you know, someone treats you in a way that you find offensive and they're out of your life. You know, I mean,
it doesn't have to be black and white.
Exactly. But this is the place where we set boundaries and we keep boundaries strong. So sometimes we have to, you know, there's an idea that we teach people how to treat us. That's exactly what we're talking about, is boundaries and how we treat ourselves. So when we say to someone, hey, that's not okay. Like I had this conversation with someone in the past 6 months where I said, hey, look, I do want to help you and I do want to talk about this. But you're getting really angry and now you're directing the anger at me and that's not okay. So here's what's okay. Tell me you don't want to talk right now and tell me that you'll call me when you feel better and you're not so upset. And then we'll have a great conversation. And they said, okay. And you know what? 2 hours later, they called and they said, okay, I apologize. I'm feeling more grounded. Like, let's have this conversation. We had a terrific conversation.
Good. Yeah.
Because I recognized that they weren't really angry at me. They were angry at another situation and they were just angry, right? And they were having trouble processing it in a way that, you know, wasn't just shooting arrows out at everyone.
And I love their reaction, by the way, because their reaction was a total de-escalation reaction.
Yeah.
Like all the energy just got sucked out of it. Yeah. All that negative energy just got sucked right out of it. It stopped on a dime.
Yeah.
And then they were actually able to behave like a human being again.
It did. Yeah. And, you know, the thing was, is I just said, no, not going to do this. Mm-hmm. Like, this is not okay. It's okay. I said, it's okay for you to be angry.
Yes.
But it's not okay. This conversation, the way it's going, is not okay.
Yeah, not taking it out on me. Just see, because you're angry doesn't mean I have to be the victim.
Being a coach, you know, sometimes, and I'm not a real brutal coach. Some coaches are kind of brutal. But like somebody said to me today, that they said, well, maybe I'm too gentle with myself. I said, so you're calling me for an ass kicking? And they started laughing.
Oh,
and they said, kind of, yeah. I'm really good at holding people accountable and at telling people what I see. And that's all I was doing here, right? It's like, I know you want my support, but this isn't how to get it. So it's fine to tell me you need a couple of hours, but go take care of, like, get grounded and then call me back. That's a boundary. And it didn't hurt our relationship at all. It made our relationship better. As a matter of fact, the conversation that we had a couple hours later was just so deep and so insightful and fantastic and healing. And so, you know, I want to encourage people that are listening that I know if you're listening to this conversation, something's coming up for you.
And isn't it interesting too? I mean, you described it very well in that particular scenario, but it happens over and over again. When you're dealing with somebody who is in some way behaving inappropriately, abusively, whatever it might be, and you essentially call them on it by placing the boundary, saying that's not acceptable behavior. The thing that I think goes through a lot of our heads is, oh, if I do that, they're going to fight me. They're going to come back at me. They're going to hit me harder. They're going to do something really, really awful. And it's actually just the opposite. What it actually does is it just stops the whole train from running and produces a result that is a completely different emotional response from what you were getting before. I mean, just totally different. It's a little bit of a shock the first time you try it.
You know, what's funny is growing up, I grew up in a very kind of liberal household and I didn't have a lot of boundaries or rules. I didn't have a curfew. I didn't have, you know, when I was a teenager, nobody was telling me really that I didn't have a time to be home, you know? And I think my parents just thought I was really responsible, so it wasn't a thing. But every once in a while, like looking back, I realized that every once in a while, like maybe it happened, you know, three or four times in my whole time of life where I was still at home but was able to drive, so it wasn't very long. My dad would say, I want you to be home by 9 o'clock, which was like so out of the blue and so like, what in the world, right? And I would always be shocked, but I would always say, okay, and I would be. And looking back, I realized that I felt really loved at those times. Like, in other words, it wasn't that I didn't feel loved at other times, but I recognized that it was messaging something to me, right? And I was a little confused by it, why was he asking for this when usually it didn't matter? But, and I still don't really understand the whole dynamic of it, but looking back, I realized it was just a boundary. And I never pushed against the boundaries, right? I did just what you just said. It's like I would say, okay. And I remember telling a friend, like, I don't know why, but my dad said I have to be home at 9 o'clock, you know? And most of my friends had curfews of like midnight. So it's not like I was going to stay out later than that anyway, because what was I going to do, stay out all by myself? But I realized that more often than not, and I'm not talking about severely abusive relationships, right? There's a difference. Like, there may be certain behaviors that feel disrespectful and maybe even abusive, but I'm not talking about consistent abusive behavior all the time. If you're being abused and you're in an abusive relationship, do what you can to get support to get out of it. But just in general, if someone is treating you a certain way or doing something that you've decided isn't okay with you, it doesn't mean it's abusive. It's not abusive to call someone after 9 o'clock at night. I just don't want anybody doing that to me.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
Right.
So it doesn't have to always be like a life or death situation. It can be just normal everyday situations.
Well, that's the thing, is that most of the time, the things we tolerate are just kind of normal everyday stuff.
Right.
Right. Like if you have kids at home and they never put their stuff away or they're leaving dirty dishes everywhere and you just begrudgingly pick them up and clean them and tolerate. Just pay attention to what you're tolerating, because the reason why we're talking about this on this show is that tolerating things is not an attractive vibe for the things you want.
That's right.
And it seems, you know, sometimes they seem unrelated. Like you stop tolerating certain things that you've been tolerating, and then suddenly you get this fantastic job that you've been wanting. Right? Or some new partner shows up in your life that's fantastic, or some money shows up from somewhere, and it doesn't seem directly related. But what we know about contrast and conscious creating is that often it's not directly, it doesn't seem directly related.
True. Although sometimes it is. And I had a direct experience with a partner relationship that led to me meeting my wife that way, because I've told the story many times, but I had basically been having one failed relationship after another. They lasted sometimes a matter of hours, sometimes days, sometimes a couple of weeks. I mean, they didn't last very long. And I finally just threw in the towel, and I didn't realize until later what it was that I was throwing in, but I figured it out later on. But at the time, I was just saying, okay, I'm done with relationships, and I let go of it. And within a month, I'd met Louise through a mutual friend. Now, what had actually happened was I had had this ongoing belief in my mind, mainly in my subconscious mind, that any relationship I was going to enter into was not going to work out. So it was doomed before I even had a conversation with her. I mean, just, you know, meeting somebody for the first time, I was done, because I had convinced myself subconsciously that it couldn't work. You know, so, well, obviously that's not going to play out really, really well. That's going to have some rather adverse effects, you know, but I couldn't see what it was. But what I did do is I let go of the idea of relationships. And when I did, I let go of that. And then all of a sudden the relationship showed up.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
That's it. Like, I see that happen a lot with, I was speaking with someone recently and I realized in the course of a half an hour, they had said several times, different sentences that all were messaging the same thing. And that was that they were going to have to do something they didn't like.
Right.
Like they said, well, when I first moved to this city, I knew I was going to have to take a job I didn't like. And when I was finishing up with school, I knew that probably I would have to do blah, 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 that I didn't really want to do, but blah, blah, blah. So after hearing it three or four times, I said, so you have a really serious belief that in order to get what you want, you have to first get something you don't want. And they were like, oh my gosh, I guess I do. Right? So we worked on changing that story.
That's a big deal.
Yeah.
That's a really big deal. I mean, I didn't think about it at the time, But my belief system that said that anytime I was going to meet someone new, it was not going to work, was basically a form of tolerance. I mean, you've been talking about tolerance. It was a way of tolerating the idea that I was going to have one miserable relationship after another.
Right.
I bought into it.
So think about if you have this idea that says, well, if, you know, I'm always going to have to do something I don't want to get what I want, then that helps you justify everything you're tolerating.
Right. Exactly. Yes.
Instead of just doing something to change the things that you're tolerating, stop tolerating it. Put a fresh light bulb in the porch light, right? Like,
yes.
All the things you're tolerating, stop tolerating them. Clean up my office, you know, whatever it is. Tell your friends and your people in your life that are doing something that you see. Here's the problem. Sometimes we tolerate things with a big smile on our face.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Like, we're like, well, the neighbor comes over to talk over the fence, you know, every night when I'm out there watering and ends up talking to me for an hour and a half, and I really don't want to talk for that long. But the whole time we're smiling and we're being the nice neighbor when really we could just say, you know, I need to go now.
Yep.
So what happens is many times all of that tolerating is done with a smile. So if you catch yourself doing things, acting like it's okay, and then grumbling about it later, that's a clue. If you're grumbling about something later that you're smiling about while you're doing it, that's a clue that you're tolerating something.
That's a very good point. And in fact, one of my old ways of tolerating, and this is something that is useful for anybody who has ever had trouble with manifesting money. It was definitely a big one for me. I didn't realize it at the time, and it was somebody who pointed out to me as a tip of, you know, here's a good way to get better at manifesting money. The tip was simply, whenever a bill comes in, pay it quickly. Don't let it sit around. Don't let yourself, you know, start thinking about, well, geez, I mean, when am I going to have the money to do this? I can't really afford all, you know, all that kind of stuff that you do.
Right.
'Cause when you pay it quickly, what happens is, regardless of what your financial situation is, no matter whether there's money coming in or not, all of a sudden it feels better, which is not what you expected, at least not what I expected when I was in that place. I thought that the longer I put off paying the bill, the longer I would put off the pain of paying the bill. Actually, I was creating the pain by not paying off the bill.
You know what's interesting is that I read this somewhere a long time ago. It said that the thing that ages us faster than drinking, than smoking, than eating a poor diet, than being sedentary, like the thing that ages us faster than anything is procrastination. And I hadn't thought about that in that sense, but you're right. Like, that's so true.
Oh, yeah.
And it's kind of like when you have a chore to do that you're avoiding. You know, those chores that you avoid for months, and then when you finally do it, it takes 20 minutes. You're like,
right?
Right?
Yep.
All that energy drain of just knowing it's there and you're not doing it. Same thing with not paying a bill, right? It's like, you know it's there, you haven't paid it. So that's
the worst thing from a law of attraction perspective is when you finally do it and it only takes 20 minutes, because you're so into the mindset of, oh, this is going to be so painful. When it's done in 20 minutes, you forget to celebrate that it only took 20 minutes. You just get stuck in that pattern.
Oh,
whereas when you remember to celebrate, it's like,
celebrate.
Oh, you shift it.
Yeah,
right?
Usually I don't celebrate. I just say, oh my gosh, why didn't I do that sooner? It only took me 20 minutes.
Yeah, well, that is a form of celebration. It's like, oh, what a relief. Isn't that what that is? Celebration is a way of relieving, of saying, I feel relieved.
Maybe, yeah. So I think, you know, I think it's a good thing to just pay attention to your inner world. Pay attention to what you're grumbling about. Pay attention to what you're doing kind of not mindfully. Right. Anytime you feel resistance over something that's going on, how could you change it? You know, the reason why we sometimes smile and tolerate things is because we have certain values. So, you know, I was making up a story about talking to a neighbor for too long and you really want to go, but they keep talking. Why do you tolerate having a long, long conversation when you don't really want to? Well, probably because you have a value around being a good neighbor, being a good friend, being a good listener, whatever it is. You have some value. So see if there's a way you can honor that value and still honor your boundary.
Good point.
Because usually there's a way.
Yeah.
Usually there is a way.
Well, what you're talking about is changing your perspective about it. And we talk about that all the time where law of attraction is concerned, but really you're changing your perspective about that particular situation so that you can set a boundary that benefits you and actually enhances whatever it is, a relationship or an experience, a situation, whatever it is. It doesn't matter.
It's like the third way. You know, sometimes we think it's all or nothing, it's black or white, but a lot of times there's a third option or many more options actually that we could be doing that would be more beneficial to us and everybody else too. Because if you're grumbling on the inside, then you're putting out a vibe that's toleration, and then you're going to attract more things you have to tolerate. So, oh.
Yes.
I don't want to think about that.
Yep. But this is good. This has been a good conversation that we're having here and continuing to have here for a number of different reasons, because boundaries are often overlooked. They pay off when we pay attention to them. And I want you to kind of address sort of a generic situation.
Okay.
Let's assume that there's at least one listener who's in a bad place, okay? And let's say this person is feeling down. They may even understand how law of attraction works, but for whatever reason, they're saying, well, you know, I just can't handle it right now. And nothing seems to be working out. And I wish other people would treat me better. And I wish that, you know, whatever it is, there's a whole list of a litany of things that this person is wishing out of their despair or frustration or loneliness or anger or whatever it is. And I guess what I want you to address is where does boundaries help when you're in that kind of a scenario? And that's kind of a broad question, I know, but to me, boundaries are like a big part of that. I'm curious to know what you have to say.
What I think is that there's a direct connection here to preferences, right? Because obviously, if you're tolerating a lot of stuff that you're not crazy about, you're not living in a place where you're, where your preferences are, where you're honoring your preferences. And if you have been in that place for a long time, where you're like deferring to other people, tolerating things you don't want to tolerate, what will happen is definitely you will get in that place where you're feeling really down. And sometimes it's difficult to bring those preferences back online. So my encouragement is always to, you know, yes, be gentle with yourself, but decide that anytime, whether someone's asking you or not, maybe you're asking yourself, start finding your preference instead of saying, I don't care or it doesn't matter. Be aware of what your preference is in any situation and then be willing to verbalize it if you're with someone else or to act on it if it's just you. And I say this because sometimes even when we're alone, we don't honor our preferences. Like maybe we're watching something on TV and we don't really like it. And we actually, if we took the time to tune into ourselves, we'd actually just want to go to bed or gotta go read a book. But we don't even take that action because we've gotten out of touch with our preferences. So I think the way that's connected to boundaries is that once you start knowing what you want, then you can start asking.
Oh, bless you.
I'm not going to sneeze. Yet. Thank you. So, in other words, boundaries are all about you creating what you want in your life. And again, I stressed this to somebody yesterday about preferences. I'm not saying that everything should always be what you want in your relationship. I'm not saying that you should never honor someone else's preferences. That's not what I'm saying at all. But I am saying you should be aware of your preferences enough to at least verbalize them. So if you ask me, hey, Cindy, where do you want to go for lunch? And I say, I want to go to this place. And you say to me, oh, I really don't like that place at all. it's fine for me to say, well, where do you want to go? Let's talk about where you, right? Because I was aware of my preference. I verbalized it. I asked for it. I'm not always going to get what I want. And it's perfectly fine for me to say, oh, yeah, well, I do like that place you like. Let's go there.
Sure.
Right? I haven't done myself any harm by not honoring, you know, my preference and demanding that we do what I want. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about just being willing to be aware of it and to ask for it. That will automatically flow over into the area which would be considered a boundary. Like, it's not a boundary issue if you ask me where I want to go for lunch and I tell you and we go there. It's not a boundary issue, right?
Nope.
But the boundary issue is all about preference and not tolerating. I think we live on Earth. We're probably going to have to tolerate some stuff. We're all tolerating stuff right now. That's just the way it is, right? We might be in a place that's in lockdown. We're tolerating it. That's where we start to honor our preferences where we are so that it's not so much of a toleration and it can become something that's actually beneficial to us. It can become some place where we may be able to find some joy and where we're more comfortable. And everyone else will be too.
I think it's absolutely true. And in fact, a lot of the things we talk about, the various, you know, major issues that are going on lately, we talk about them often here on the podcast, you know, COVID and economy, races, all that kind of stuff. But the interesting thing from my perspective is I've gotten to the point now where I'm not tolerating any of them anymore. I don't even think about them most of the time now. And I think it's largely because I have a wonderful set of co-hosts who help me stay on the high vibe. But nevertheless, just by doing the work and setting the boundaries and not tolerating as a way of life, I've actually gotten to the point now where I have new perspective. So I hear the word COVID. Yeah, sure. I'm aware of COVID for about as long as somebody mentions it. And then I lose my interest in it and it goes away because I'm just not focused on that anymore. I'm focused on what's going right in my life because I make it a regular habit to focus on what's going right in my life. And yeah, I hear about the economy because I hear people bring up the economy. And for that moment, I'm aware of the economy. And then when the conversation is done, I go right back to the stuff that's feeling good to me. And the economy just slides away from my attention. I just don't even notice it anymore.
Yeah.
So it isn't even a question of tolerance. It's a question of attention.
Yeah. Well, everything always is a question of attention.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you don't have to tolerate it, which is, I mean, initially perhaps we do because we're changing. We're dealing with, okay, I've got this situation. I have to tolerate it for a little bit while I try to figure out what my next step is.
Right.
My point is we don't have to stay there. We don't have to live in that space.
Right. And I think that would be more akin to using a different kind of languaging around it and saying that we're, you know, we're dealing with something. And
right.
When I say dealing with it, I mean, we're working on a solution.
Yes.
We're going to deal with that. And we're going to do whatever we can to work towards where we want to be with it. Tolerating it is something different because we're not dealing with it. We're just tolerating it.
Right.
Boundaries is a way to deal with it. Boundaries is dealing with the situation, the problem, whatever it is, the issue. And it's crucial. You know, somebody brought up a point. I've got like, look at the clock. I'm like, we're counting down here. But somebody said to me one time, well, boundaries shouldn't be necessary if you love each other.
Oh.
And I was like, oh, wait a minute. No, boundaries definitely are applicable when you love each other. And when you love each other, you want to honor each other's boundaries. And when you go deeper and you've been together for a while in a love relationship, pretty soon, boundaries aren't a big issue because you're knowing each other so well and you're automatically wanting to honor each other's boundaries and help each other be comfortable and not cause the other person to be tolerating something, that they're much less of an issue, yes. But to say that they're not necessary is a different story. So
totally
don't be afraid
different.
To set boundaries. Just start gently with yourself and recognize what your preferences are and then ask for what you want.
Very good. Well, thank you for the reader who brought up the question, because obviously this was an excellent question for us to discuss. And thank you, as usual, for all your wonderful insights, Cindy. You're an amazing person. Did you know that?
Oh, gosh. Well, thank you. I appreciate it very much.
You truly are. So thank you very much. Thank you, live streamers, and especially thank you to our podcast listeners as well. We'll see you all next time here on LOA Today. Goodbye.
Bye.